Hare Krishna. We had one question that came from Dharma Sethudas and Karna Karna and Devidasi in New Zealand, and they're asking, we would like to know if you would approve of our keeping Tulsi Devi plant at home. And the answer is certainly. The keeping of Tulsi is such an integral part of Vaishnava tradition, it's almost like asking if I can have a picture of Prabhupada on the wall or on my altar. By all means, generally, devotees are encouraged to grow Tulsi Devi from seed. Of course, it means that one should have proper Vaishnava standards in one's home, but that's not a problem with those who are asking the question. So in real Vaishnava's homes, we always see, when we go to India, we see in temples, in the temple courtyard, facing the altar, or in people's homes, whether it be a courtyard or inside the house, that they always have a very nice stand, platform, and on that platform they have Tulsi Devi, which nowadays in India is usually also caged in to protect her from monkeys. Unfortunately, monkeys don't respect Tulsi Devi. Monkeys don't respect anybody. But they don't respect Tulsi Devi. And that's where Parikram takes place, and everywhere, or in the temple, everyone in their home, they will come out every day, offer water to Tulsi Devi, offer their obeisances. It's a wonderful thing to do. In fact, recently we were talking about how to, for two things, cut expenses, temple expenses, and the other one is what will we do, what type of facilities will we provide for Tulsi Devi when we renovate and rebuild Radha Shyamasundar's temple at the farm. And one of the proposals, which I thought was really good, is rather than having a large greenhouse that really costs a fortune in order to maintain, have just a small facility for Tulsi Devis who will go on the altar, and have Tulsis in the Grihastas homes throughout New Rajadam. There are, I don't know, 40 houses, 50 houses in New Rajadam. And if Grihastas are properly trained how to take care of Tulsi Devi, and they have nice facilities that she gets proper sun, especially in the winter time when it's cold, and they worship her nicely, as Srila Prabhupada said, Tulsi Devi is the thermometer of our Krishna consciousness, then it becomes a really wonderful community activity. Everyone is participating, everyone is taking part of ensuring that Radha Shyamasundar have, Shyamasundar has, not Srimati Radharani, but Shyamasundar has Tulsi leaves, has manjaris, they can collect, pick them, bring them to the temple, and in that way there's this really big expense of keeping Tulsi Devi, a large greenhouse, heating a large greenhouse during the winter, and then in the summer that greenhouse becomes phenomenally hot. It can hit up actually to 60 degrees Celsius. That's hot. That's really hot. It gives the service, spreads the service out, and also gives a particular, I think, from having taken care of Tulsi Devi for many years myself in Canada, gives us another precaution that sometimes when mites attack Tulsi Devi, then they spread to all of them when they're all together. But in this way, when Tulsi Devi is in different homes, then the chance of their being attacked, all of them being attacked, number one, by mites, number two, for instance, if in the middle of the winter the heating fails, then within a matter of hours all the Tulsi Devis leave their body just from the cold, if somehow or another we can't start up the heating. But in this way, that risk is spread out more to the homes of the Grihasthas. Great idea. I really liked that idea. And obviously, everyone gets the opportunity to also take care of Tulsi. It becomes part of their home. So, yes, all pure devotees should have Tulsi Devi in their home. And in relationship to this, there was a question from Sadaka Das again. And he says, why is it that we say Rindai Tulsi Devai Vishnu Bhakti rather than saying Krishna Bhakti? Since the song is making an appeal to become a resident of Vrindavan, is this not Rasavas? No, it's not Rasavas. It's a question of what you mean when you talk about Vishnu. You're not talking about Vishnu in Vaikuntha or Svetadvip, but you're talking about Vishnu, the Supreme Vishnu, Lord Krishna. Just like at the end of the Rasalila pastime, then the appeal is actually being made by Shukadeva Goswami, or appeal or prayer. He's saying Idam Cha Vishnu, that if you hear about this pastime of Krishna with the gopis, with the proper faith, then you become free from the desire of lust. And obviously he's just described Krishna. So he refers to Krishna as Vishnu, meaning that he's the Supreme Vishnu. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the meaning is that we're talking about Krishna, Shyamasundar. He can also be called Vishnu. There's no harm. And it's a question of what is the consciousness with which you're appealing to him. Having said that, my information, and I know that I've heard that from Keshav Bharati Maharaj and others as well, is that they were present when Srila Prabhupada was asked whether the song can be sung that Krishna Bhakti Pradidevi, and Srila Prabhupada also said yes. So that is explicit. In an explicit way, it says that which is implicit. Just like we say Hare Krishna. When we say Hare Krishna, Hare means O Hari. So Hari, who is Hari? Hari is also a name of Shyamasundar Krishna, but Hari is also a form of Lord Vishnu. So are we thinking about a form of Lord Vishnu? No, obviously not. We're thinking about either Hari or Krishna, or we're thinking about Srimati Radharani, which means O Hara. Similarly, when we say Rama, who are we thinking about? Balaram or Ramchandra, or are we thinking about Rama, Radhika, Ramana, Rama? So it depends on, it's not so much in the name of what you're chanting, but it's in the consciousness. Who are you thinking about when you're chanting that matters? So there's no question of Rasabhas in this case. Hare Krishna.